Your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We've been working our way through this chapter. We've seen that Jesus and his disciples, his apostles especially, having been in the temple, and they're teaching and instructing and giving forth some woes to the scribes and Pharisees. They're leaving the temple after that Jesus had told the scribes and Pharisees, Jerusalem, that their house was left unto them desolate, and that they should see him no more till they said, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And as they were going forth out of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, his apostles, particularly on the fact that he had said that this place was going to be left unto them desolate, as a wasteland, destroyed, they were pointing out to him the beauty and the magnificence of the temple and the buildings surrounding the temple. And Jesus said to them, you behold this beauty, and you behold the magnificence of this place. But there shall not be one stone left upon another. And as they were going up into the Mount of Olives, his apostles asked him, said, when will this happen? When will this be? And what is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And so Jesus proceeds to tell them of some events that will transpire. And he tells them that they need to beware, they need to be on guard, because there are going to be many that will come saying they are the Christ. They are the Messiah. And they will deceive many. He said, not only that, you'll hear of wars and of rumors of wars. You'll hear of nations rising up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines. There'll be pestilence. Pandemics. Global pandemic. Global famines. And global earthquakes. But he said in verse 8, all these things are just the beginning of birth pains. And if you remember, we said every mother knows when those birth pains begin, they know it's not time yet, but it's getting close. Those birth pains have just begun. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, it's not time yet, but these are just the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains are terrible. I'm told they're not fun. But it gets worse. It gets worse. It gets much worse. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. And he said, they're going to take you and they're going to afflict you and even kill you. For my name's sake. Because of me. Because you uphold my name, because you proclaim me, and because you will not renounce me. He said, not only that, he said, many will be offended. And we compared what was said in Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21, and we find there, the many will be offended and betray you, deliver. That is those of your own family. Mothers and fathers will betray their children. Children will betray their mothers and fathers. Brother betraying brothers. Sisters betraying sisters. Daughter-in-laws, their mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, their daughter-in-law. And he said, many false prophets shall rise up. And we said, surely he's speaking about the day and time in which we're living. And yes, it happened in the days of the apostles. It was so in 70 A.D., but it has increased since 70 A.D. It has increased to our present day, but it shall increase during the period of the tribulation. It shall increase. And he said, because iniquity, because lawlessness, what the word iniquity there, the Greek word for that is translated iniquity here means lawlessness. Because lawlessness shall abound, shall prevail. Many shall grow cold. The wax cold there, it signifies blowing cool. That lawlessness will blow on them and blow them cool, blow them cold. Certainly, we can draw parallels to the day and time in which we're living. But as we looked at that last week, we even noticed that one of the names of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the wicked, which that word wicked there means the lawless one. The Antichrist, he'll be the lawless one. He'll know not law. That is, he'll know not God's law. He'll not do anything in honor of God's law. In keeping with God's law. And so that brings us to the verses we want to look at today in verses 13 and 14, where we read, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. Yes? The times are going to be very difficult. They're going to get very difficult. But it will be true in that day, the same as it is in this day, the same as it has been in all ages. There will be the need for God's people to continue on. In comparison, we look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 13, records practically the same. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You see, you notice Mark draws that together in one sentence, the being hated, the being offended and betraying, being hated for my name's sake, in one sentence with, but he that endureth shall be saved. The test. The test of real faith, the test of true faith, is endurance. We think of the parable that Jesus told in the book of Matthew chapter 13 and about the seed, and the seed on the different types of ground, and seed being cast upon stony ground, and it coming forth and sprouting up, but soon withered away, because there was no root that was sunk in to the ground, into good ground. When tribulation and anguish came, it withered away. So a test of true faith, of whether you're a child of God and have true faith or not, is your continuance. You're continuing on in the faith. Just as our forefathers, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, gave their lives. And not renouncing their faith, and not renouncing the truths of the Word of God, the truths that were given to them, that were handed down from Jesus Christ to the apostles, and from the apostles to all of His churches. To the point that 50 million Anabaptists gave their lives in the Dark Ages. Cause of Christ. You see, they endured unto the end. They endured unto the end. And only those who persevere to the end of their life shall finally be saved. Shall finally be saved. Look with me at the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look with me here at verse 6. Where we read, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Here the Apostle Paul was confident of a good work that he had done, of persisting on in the work of the Lord, of keeping the faith, not departing from the faith, not giving up the faith, but continuing on. And because he continued on to the end of his life, he was assured of a crown of righteousness in that day. And he says, and not to me only, but to everyone that does likewise, to everyone that endures until the end. The book of Revelation. The book of Revelation in chapter 2. In verse 10. There he tells the church at Smyrna that there's going to be persecution come upon them. They're going to suffer for the cause of Christ. And one of the churches that the Lord had nothing against. And he said in verse 10, he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, one who has true faith will be faithful, will continue on until death, or until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes him out of this world. Those who are truly in Christ, note that term, in Christ. Those who are truly in Christ, they are a new creation. They will persevere. Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. Look with me here at verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind of wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You who it before, which is all of us, not just the saints at Colossae, but all of us were before wicked, alienated from God, enemies of his. But now we've been reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He's going to present us. He is presenting us that way now, and he is going to continue to present us that way, even when we stand face to face. We shall be presented that way. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. You see, we've been given the hope of the gospel in our hearts, and we shall continue to the end. He says, if ye continue. Well, that is a sign, that is a mark that you are a true child of God by the fact that you continue. That doesn't mean we don't stub our toe now and then and fall down on a pity party and only out to me. But we continue on in the pursuit of the things of God and in the faith that he's planted in our hearts. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, In verse 18, we read, "But the path of the just is that shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." See the continuing process? The path of the just is as the shining light that continueth and continueth more and more unto the day of completion, until the perfect day. Praise God that we will persevere. But now our perseverance is because God is preserving us. It is God that is preserving us, and because He is preserving us, we shall persevere to the end. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Again, the book of Proverbs in chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8. "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints." If you're a saint of God, if you're a true saint of God, but none of us going to fool us. In one of the letters to Timothy, we said we have this assurance that God knoweth those that are His. And this proverb tells us that He preserveth. He preserveth His saints. Praise God. You see, that's why we persevere. Because we are His, and because He is preserving us, we persevere in the faith. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 1 and verse 6, he writes to the Philippians saying, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, He'll see it to completion. If God has started a work in you. Let me pause right there and ask everyone here, has God started a good work in you? If he has, He's going to continue it. He's going to bring it along until the day of Jesus Christ. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Well, I was just going to read it to you. Let's turn there. Because there's another couple verses, at least one other verse I want to look at. Look at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." By a living hope. You see, we have a living hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, we have hope. We have a living hope. What does it mean to have a living hope? Because we have a hope that is founded in the Lord Jesus Christ, it manifests itself in our life. That's what it means, a living hope. Because we have a hope that is founded in Jesus Christ, and that one day we are going to see Him face to face. Our life manifested, our walk manifested. People see us and they know that we are different than anybody else that they've ever met. And hopefully we're not the only Christian they've met. But hopefully all Christians that they meet, they know they're different. They know they're different than themselves. They know they're different than the rest of the world. Because we have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at verse 5. Who are that? These ones, these elect ones who have that living hope, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Because we're fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're God's, we're His, we're kept by His power. The same power that took me when I was dead in trespasses and sins, and made me alive, resurrected me from the dead, made me alive in Christ Jesus. I'm kept by that same mighty working power in Him. Also, Psalms 138. In verse 8, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will complete. He will bring me to completion, is what that verse tells us. You see, He is preserving me. How can I fail? The Almighty is preserving me. The Almighty is keeping me. How can I fail? I can't fail to come to that completed end. Doesn't mean I don't fail Him miserably in this life. I do. For I sin daily. I tell people I sin more than I want to. I do. Because I don't want to sin at all. But I find myself sinning every day. You know what I'm talking about. Second Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 18, we read, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. Amen. Praise God. He will preserve me in His heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, He is preserving us. And we do persevere. Even the faithful remnant, the 144,000, and a great multitude of tribulation saints will endure to the end. Will endure to the end. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 17 of this 12th chapter. And the dragon, the devil, Satan, was wroth with the woman. The woman spoken of here is Israel. Satan was wroth with the woman. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You notice the remnant? They keep the Word of God. And they have the testimony that they're His, that they're God. Why? Because they keep His Word. They keep His commandments. They follow on in His way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about Satan being wroth with them. It doesn't matter about Satan outpouring his terrible things against them. They keep the Word of God. They have the testimony of God. They persevere. Even in the midst of this horrible time. The 14th chapter. The 14th chapter. In verse 3. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled. Notice they were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. The 144,000 there are said to keep themselves pure. They defile themselves not. In the midst of this great tribulation, this all the wrath of Satan that is being poured out against them. You see. Look with me. Chapter 20. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. How's he? Here, there's many. There's many that gave their life. They were beheaded. They gave their lives. They refused not to have the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. They refused not to worship him. They endured. They endured to the end of their life. They endured to the death. We have kind of a synopsis of this and given to us, I think, in the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Actually, maybe we'll wait there, but that in that 7th chapter it talks about the 144,000, but it also talks about those a great multitude from every nation during the tribulation period, that are in glory before the throne, John says. He sees them before the throne. What does that signify? That signifies that they endured the great tribulation, and now they're in glory, gathered around the throne of God. Well, verse 14 of our text. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end be. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom was preached by John the Baptist. Book of Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we can read that. It was preached by Jesus Christ. You can read that in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, where it tells us about Jesus coming and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Also in the book of Mark, chapter 1, in verses 14 and 15, talks about Christ preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ sent forth the 12, the apostles. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, and verse 7, he sent them forth to the cities of Israel to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Take note that it was only preached by John the Baptist, by Jesus Christ, and by his apostles. At that point, it was only preached, the gospel of the kingdom was only preached to the nation of Israel. The message was, repent and believe, because the kingdom is near. The king is soon to appear. It was so it makes sense why it was only preached to Israel, because Israel was the one that was looking for a soon coming king. They were looking for the Messiah to come and set up his reign, his kingdom. So repent. The king is soon to appear. In fact, the king is here, but not as king. They rejected it. Oh, there were some, as we see in Sunday school this morning, there were some that embraced it, but not very many. Not very many Israelites at that time embraced it. So, to the point that John chapter 1 tells us, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the Israelite, but they didn't receive him. In fact, they wanted nothing to do with him. They rejected the gospel of the kingdom. And so the gospel of the grace of God is preached. There's only one gospel. So the gospel in the kingdom was the same as the gospel of the grace of God. It was just repent because the king is coming. Our gospel today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That was the gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel today. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 tells us the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then it goes on to tell us about John the Baptist. And then, after John the Baptist, Jesus Christ. And, continuing on, the apostles and so forth. In Acts and the epistles of our Bible, of the Word of God, it is the gospel. And if anything, it is the gospel of the grace of God. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts, chapter 20, in verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The good news. The good news of the favor of God to the world, the apostles, and the Lord's church. Preach repentance and the remission of sins. In the book of Luke, in chapter 24 and verse 47, we read this: and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and the remission of sins is our message today. It was the message of the apostles after Christ's resurrection and ascension. And it is our message today. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached again. It will be preached again, but not until the tribulation period, when God is dealing primarily again with Israel, but not only Israel. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached not only to Israel in the tribulation period, but it will be preached to all the world. For the king is soon to appear. The king is soon to come. At the start of the tribulation period, he's only got 7 years and he's coming. Approximately. In that time scope, time frame. You see, the king's coming then will be near. It will be preached to Israelites and to Gentiles. It'll be preached to 144,000. And 144,000 will take the gospel of the kingdom into all the world. Turn with me now to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation in chapter 7. Verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. You see, the servants of God will be sealed in their foreheads. The servants of God. Who are the servants of God? They're preachers of his gospel, the gospel kingdom. They will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But not to Israelites only, as it was before, but this time to all nations. Look at verse 4. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, servants of God that are sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then the next verses tell you, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this tribe. Look with me at verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Where did the great multitude come? The great multitude from all the nations were saved under the preaching of the 144,000 that went into all the world nations preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gentiles. Now, the Old Testament foretold of this. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. In chapter 66. And look with me at verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. What period of time is Isaiah speaking there of? He's speaking of the tribulation time, when the 144,000, those that are sealed, servants of God, go into all the nations of the world preaching the gospel. The time when he's drawn all nations together. You see, we just read to you verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7, and the great multitude that is there from all the nations. I submit to you this morning, then will be the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Luke, if you're doing a comparison study of this chapter, Luke in chapter 21, verse 24, says this, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That occurred in 70 A.D. They fell by the edge of the sword. They were scattered into all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. And since 70 A.D., Jerusalem has been trodden down of the Gentiles. Even until this present day, has Jerusalem been trodden down until she'll be trodden down, continue to be trodden down, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when the 144,000 go forth into all the nations of the world at that time preaching the gospel, and there's a multitude that are saved during that time. Then will the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And what does our text verse say? And after this, the king will come and reign. The coming, after that, the coming of the king is near at hand. But we got more events to look at and to expound before the king comes. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer to the coming of the king at the end of the tribulation period. Well, we need to quit there this morning.